Berger had not been able to sleep on Thursday night. She hobbled restlessly back and forth while Linda kept a watchful eye on her. Her anxiety lay like a heavy fog over the house. At 2:30, Linda managed to talk Berger into getting into bed to rest, even if she did not sleep. She heaved a sigh of relief when Berger closed her bedroom door. She opened her laptop and summarized the situation in an email to Armansky. She had scarcely sent the message before she heard that Berger was up and moving about again. At 7:30, she made Berger call SMP and take a sick day. Berger had reluctantly agreed and then fallen asleep on the living room sofa in front of the boarded-up picture window. Linda spread a blanket over her. Then she made some coffee and called Armansky, explaining her presence at the house and that she had been called in by Rosen.
"Stay there with Berger," Armansky told her, "and get a couple of hours' sleep yourself."
"I don't know how we're going to build this."
"We'll work that out later."
Berger slept until 2:30. She woke up to find Linda sleeping in a recliner on the other side of the living room. Figueroa slept late on Friday morning. She did not have time for her morning run. She blamed Blomqvist for this state of affairs as she showered and then rousted him out of bed. Blomqvist drove to Millennium, where everyone was surprised to see him up so early. He mumbled something, made some coffee, and called Erickson and Cortez into his office. They spent 3 hours going over the articles for the themed issue and keeping track of the book's progress.
"Dag's book went to the printer yesterday," Erickson said. "We're going down the perfect bound trade paperback route."
"The special issue is going to be called The Lisbeth Salander Story," Cortez said. "They're bound to move the date of the trial, but at the moment it's set for Wednesday, July 13th. The magazine will be printed by them, but we haven't fixed on a distribution date yet. You can decide nearer the time."
"Good. That leaves the Zalichenko book, which right now is a nightmare. I'm calling it The Section. The first half is basically what's in the magazine. It begins with the murders of Dag and Mia, and then follows the hunt for Salander first, then Zalichenko, and then Niedermann. The second half will be everything we know about The Section."
"Mikhail, even if the printer breaks every record for us, we're going to have to send them the files by the end of this month, at the latest," Erickson said. "Krista will need a couple of days for the layout, the typesetter, say, a week. So we have about 2 weeks left for the text. I don't know how we're going to make it."
"We won't have time to dig up the whole story," Blomqvist conceded. "But I don't think we could manage that even if we had a whole year. What we're going to do in this book is to state what happened. If we don't have a source for something, then I'll say so. If we're flying kites, we'll make that clear. So, we're going to write about what happened, what we can document, and what we believe to have happened."
"That's pretty vague," Cortez said.
Blomqvist shook his head.
"If I say that a Seppo agent broke into my apartment, and I can document it and him with a video, then it's documented. If I say that he did it on behalf of the Section, then that's speculation. But in the light of all the facts we're setting out, it's a reasonable speculation. Does that make sense?"
"It does."
"I won't have time to write all the missing pieces myself. I have a list of articles here that you, Henry, will have to cobble together. It corresponds to about 50 pages of book text. Malin, you're back up for Henry, just as when we were editing Dag's book. All three of our names will be on the cover and on the title page. Is that all right with you two?"
"That's fine," Erickson said. "But we have other urgent problems."
"Such as?"
"While you were concentrating on the Zalichenko story, we had a hell of a lot of work to do here."
"You're saying I wasn't available?"
Erickson nodded.
"You're right. I'm sorry."
"No need to apologize. We all know that when you're in the throes of a story, nothing else matters. But that won't work for the rest of us, and it definitely doesn't work for me. Erica had me to lean on. I have Henry, and he's an ace, but he's putting in an equal amount of time on your story. Even if we count you in, we're still two people short in editorial."
"Two?"
"And I'm not Erica. She had a routine that I can't compete with. I'm still learning this job. Monica is working her backside off, and so is Lotta. Nobody has a moment to stop and think."
"This is all temporary. As soon as the trial begins..."
"No, Mikhail. It won't be over then. When the trial begins, it'll be sheer hell. Remember what it was like during the Venestrom affair? We won't see you for 3 months while you hop from one TV interview sofa to another."
Blomqvist sighed.
"What do you suggest?"
"If we're going to run Millennium effectively during the fall, we're going to need new blood. Two people at least, maybe three. We just don't have the editorial capacity for what we're trying to do. And..."
"And?"
"And I'm not sure that I'm ready to do it."
"I hear you, Malin."
"I mean it. I'm a damn good managing editor. It's a piece of cake with Erica as your boss. We said that we were going to try this over the summer. Well, we've tried it. I'm not a good editor-in-chief."
Nonsense, Cortez said.
Erickson shook her head.
I hear what you're saying, Blomquist said, but remember that it's been an extreme situation.
Erickson smiled at him sadly. You could take this as a complaint from the staff, she said.